Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Today, I plan to take a look at the time we have here, the book of Colossians. And this is in sync with our GTs. If you're in a GT, you're going to be hitting Colossians probably this week. And if you're not, get in a GT. Get in one of those that stands for get togethers. It's where we have our small groups. Love to have everybody involved in a small group and enjoying that. But I want to just hit, we'll see how far we go today. I want to today and next week as well to dive into this incredible book, one of my favorite books in the Bible, to be honest. I have many favorites, but it is one of them, is this book of Colossians written by Paul to the church of Colossae. Some say Colossae, but I'll say Colossae since there's an A in it. Written to them. This is where it is. We can throw that slide up real quick. Just to give you, in your minds, it helps me. Of course, we've got Israel down here, Jerusalem. Up in what is modern-day Turkey is you'll find Colossae and Laodicea. Of course, in the book of Revelation, we've got Laodicea as one of the churches that Jesus speaks to. Colossae is just 9 miles away on the Meander River. So if the word, if you're meandering, that's probably where this came from, is my guess. Anyway, so that's what we're, the area that Paul is writing to, year 62 or so. He's writing from prison to this church. He may have never been to the church in Colossae. We learn that Epaphras planted this church, was reporting back to Paul. But Paul writes this powerful letter to them. And so, Lord, we just right now ask that by your Spirit, you would take your word, your beautiful word, and would you reveal what your heart is and what your instructions are by your Spirit in our lives today. And thank you for your words that were written nearly 2,000 years ago through Paul are applicable and relevant to our lives this very moment, and ask that you would, by your Spirit, free us in every way you want us free. Transform our minds, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, and just another kind of a side note, you'll hear me, and you'll see, I don't talk about this much, but you'll see scriptures when I'm reading scriptures, you'll see up there the version that I use oftentimes at the bottom. And so I just want to mention why I use several versions. Three primarily, and this is me personally. One is the NASB, the New American Standard. It's often referred to as the most accurate word-for-word translation. A lot of scholars will say that. I use that one a lot. I really like the New American Standard. I also use the Amplified, which is a, kind of a word-for-word translation, but it expounds and uses as many English words as necessary to try and give the meaning of the Hebrew or the Greek word that's mentioned, because it's not just a one-for-one exchange all along the way when you're talking about language. Sometimes it takes more words in one language to fully explain what this word means in another language. So I like the Amplified, does that. The other one is the Passion Translation. I really like that. It's a newer translation, and it's not a word-for-word translation. It's a thought-for-thought translation. And that's important because throughout the scriptures, the Hebrew language, the Greek language really as well, a lot of times something is said, and it's not just the literal word, but it's the concept of the thought there that's important to catch. And we need to be able to catch that of what is really being said, not just a scholarly word-for-word technical thing, but what is the meaning of what's being said. So that's the Passion Translation. So I kind of go back between all three of those personally. I'll throw in occasionally some others. I like the Wiest and some other versions, but today I'm going to use all three of those. And I'll give you an example, too, of like the thought-for-thought translating way. Like if I said, Tori was speaking today and she hit it out of the park. If you did a word-for-word translation on that, you would think that Tori was playing baseball today, because you wouldn't catch what was really being said there, that Tori was speaking and it resonated powerfully with the audience. That would be the Passion Translation of that. Does that make sense? So those things are important throughout the scriptures. So many pictures, allegories, parables throughout the scriptures. It's important that we catch the meaning of what's being said, not just the technical word. Everybody with me? Great. Okay. Let's jump in. Verse 1, Colossians 1. I'll go through this fairly quickly. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, the guy who planted your church, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased, and Paul is speaking really of himself and Timothy, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What a prayer. So he's praying this for this community of believers regularly, without ceasing, say every day at least, praying this very prayer for this fellowship. This is a great prayer to pray over your family, for me to pray over you, over us as a fellowship, that we would all these things walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, filled with the knowledge of his will. Well, we all want that. Incredible prayer. Verse 13, for he, speaking of the Father, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. God has transferred you from one kingdom to the next. Of course, we're a part of this bride, this body of Jesus. Though we were born into a kingdom of darkness, we have been transferred. And what happened the day that you met Jesus, the day that you received him into your body, into your being, things happen that we cannot see naturally. And he explains some of that right here. And I don't know that we really recognize when someone received Jesus into themselves, they confess their sin, they receive him by faith, something incredible happened that moment in the spirit world. They were ripped out of one kingdom and placed in another. That happened to you. That happened to me. Invisibly. But that's exactly what happened, even though we didn't see it with our eyes. It's a little bit like, you remember when Philip shares the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he baptizes him, and when they come out of the water, Philip disappears, transfers 9 miles away. He's translated 9 miles away and shows up somewhere else that he had never been before. That's what happened to you when you became born again. You were translated, spirit man, from one kingdom into another place, into the kingdom of Jesus, the beloved Son. Verse 15, he, Jesus, is the image. By the way, part of what Paul is doing in this letter to the Colossians is he He's whacking false doctrine that has been taught in this city to this fellowship, diminishing the power of God, the deity of Jesus, the person of Jesus, bringing him down a bit. Paul is saying, no, 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 no. So he's going to brag on Jesus and talk about who he is and how supreme he is. He's the image of the invisible God. The Passion says he's the divine portrait of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created. He didn't just arrive here and was born here. He created everything before he came. Both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, in Jesus, all things hold together. All things hold together. Think about that. Every solar system, every galaxy, every planet, this planet, everything is being held together. The cell, the atom level, the cell of every animate or inanimate object is held together by Jesus. Everything. We call it, though we don't understand it, gravity. God calls it his son. Holding everything together. Jesus is the one doing that. And that just, it's mind-blowing when you think of him coming to the earth as a baby, and he built everything, even his own body's being held together by himself. I mean, it's just mind-blowing, the reality of who Jesus is. He, Jesus, verse 18, is also the head of the body, us, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. In everything. There's this progressive journey of Jesus throughout history, taking first place and being first place in everything. He wants to be first place in every part of our lives. That's the Father's desire too. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. I know the cults will twist this passage to try and make it mean something that it doesn't mean. It really means Jesus is God. In the Amplified, the same verse, verse 19, for it pleased the Father for all the fullness of deity to the sum total of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes to dwell permanently in him, the Son, Jesus. He is God. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus, the most powerful substance on the planet and in the universe, reconciles, works to reconcile all things back to God that were taken away or lost or given away by Adam and Eve or taken away by the enemy. All these things come back together in Jesus, through Jesus. Our relationships, mankind back to the Father, kicked out of the garden, reconciled back to him. Jesus has done that. The blood of Jesus enables you and I to be reconciled, to be cleansed. Think of the state of Adam and Eve when they were first created. Innocent, holy, blameless, without sin. Then sin came in, separated from God. Thousands of years, and then Jesus and his blood says, let's bring them back into that place. With the Father, relationally, and then inwardly, their position, cleansed, holy, righteous, because of the blood of Jesus. Incredible. Verse 21, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, in your ways of thinking, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, that's important. All these things Jesus does and is doing, if we continue in the faith, The faith that believes that he's doing that. The faith that believes that he's the one, not me and my effort doing any of that. We have to stay in that faith. And that's our choice. There's our part to play. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. But our part to play is to stay in faith in what he has done. And I'm telling you what, the enemy wants to try to get you out of that faith. You should go by some sort of feeling that comes by. Don't do it. Stay in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Boy, if we move away from the faith of what he just talked about and believing that Jesus has done things for us, here's the kind of fruit that comes from moving away from that faith. You start feeling unworthy, unsure of how God feels about me, uncertain about what God feels about me in this moment, uncertain if I am righteous enough or if I've done enough good works to be pleasing to him. All those feelings flood in, and those thoughts flood in, even from a born-again believer, if we don't remain in the faith in what he has done for me and live in that positionally. And so we can't afford to go backwards in this. Verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Now, here's a translation that I like another translation better. Lacking in Christ's afflictions. When I read about what happened to Jesus, it doesn't feel like there was any lacking of affliction that he went through, right? So let's read this in the Passion Translation, same passage, verse 24. I can even celebrate the sorrows I have experienced on your behalf. For as I join with you in your difficulties, it helps you to discover what lacks in your understanding of the sufferings Jesus Christ experienced in his body. That's completely different, isn't it? There wasn't anything lacking that Jesus did, but it helps us understand what he did so we can praise him even more, thank him even more. Verse 25, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery. There's another thing religious people don't like, is that word? Paul uses it quite a bit. The mystery, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed, verse 27, to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's read that one in the Passion. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's been revealed, unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Verse 27, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. I'm telling you what, this, you hear me, you've heard me. If you've been here at part of this church for any amount of time, you've heard me say this verse a lot. And this is a life-changing verse. Because religion is the opposite of this. And religion will keep you bound and will keep you from being completely free to understand and to believe who we really are. You know, when they were carrying around, God designed the Ark of the Covenant. He designed that. Gold, cherubim on top, mercy seat. He designed that to be a representation, a foreshadowing of something that would contain God. So then the pillar of fire would come down on the tent of meeting. The presence of God would fill this place where God resided. He would temporarily come down from heaven and be a part of this, wherever the Ark of the Covenant was. Powerful scripture and powerful story and picture for a whole generation, more than one, a whole group of people, the tribe of Israel, for hundreds and thousands of years. You've got that imagery. And then Jesus comes, again, he wants to have first place in everything, and he does away with the Ark of the Covenant. Actually, it was missing way before Jesus' time. It disappeared, by the way. I don't think we'll ever find it. We might find the Ark of Noah. In fact, I think we actually probably have. I don't think we'll ever find the Ark of the Covenant. I think it's gone. It's been replaced. It's been replaced with you. We are the design of God, created for him to inhabit. Not a gold box anymore, but for him to live within us. And this reality, this mystery that's been revealed only as of late, 2,000 years, is mind-blowing. And yet, I still feel that most believers don't recognize this mystery or understand it, that wherever you go, wherever you are on every single day, Mondays included, you are a carrier of God. You are his new home. You're his new home address. Your name, your personhood, who you are. It says that the great mystery is this, that Jesus chose to live inside of you. Religion says, and I hear this many times from people who may not really know God, or they'll say, the man upstairs, you know, he's somewhere. Don't know quite where he is. This says that the man upstairs moved downstairs and moved into you. He lives inside of us. He lives inside of us. That should be a life-changing understanding. How does that change our lives? Well, if we recognize that he lives in me, then he's not just watching me. He's not just looking from above down upon me. He's moved to the inside of me. So it changes the way that I speak to other people. Changes the things that I do and the things that I watch, the things that I say, the places that I go, because I'm carrying him. I want to walk in a manner worthy of being the Ark of God. It's an incredible thing. It's such a privilege. Beyond anything we realize, the privilege of what Jesus has done for us and what he has now done for us, moved into us. Unlike any other mystery. We proclaim him, verse 28, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man, you can say person, man and woman is included in this, that we present every person complete in Christ. Again, elevating Jesus. The goal here is for you and I to look like Jesus when he returns. The goal is that we would be transformed all the way, progressively, day by day, glory to glory, right? Into his image. The one who lives inside of us would shine out of us. And our hearts and our minds would be changed to think like he thinks. To believe like he believes. To behave like he behaves. To do the kind of things that he was doing and is still doing. That's the goal. Verse 29, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, not his own, which mightily works within me. In the Passion Translation, it says, Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me, to present every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ. in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ in them. It's both. Wow, we're short on time. Let's try a few verses in Colossians 2. Verse 1. We'll see how far we get here. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who were at Laodicea, since they're twin towns almost. For all of those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attending to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Who's in here? In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything's held together by him, and in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There are people who spend their lives searching and looking for more knowledge. And it's found in Jesus. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Don't get tricked to think that there's something spectacular out there that's not in Jesus that's going to be mind-blowing and change everything. Jesus is the one we need to be diving into, exploring more of, being united with more and more. I say this so that, I already said that. Verse 5, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The passion in that one says, in the same way you've received Jesus our Lord and Messiah by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Your union with him. We were singing about that today, about pursuing and wanting to know him more and being closer with him. That is what this prayer is for us as well. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. An attitude of gratitude and thankfulness really indicate that this is a person who has found the treasure in Jesus. A person who complains and feels like they're a victim all the time, that's a person who's still digging. They haven't found the treasure of who Jesus is or who he is in them. Because that changes everything. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Any thought that diminishes Jesus is a false thought. Any teaching, any theology that diminishes Jesus, throw it away. Be aggressive with that thing. Kick it out. Don't dissect it to see what might be true in there. Boot it, right? Verse 9. For in him all, this is a repeat really of the first chapter. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. I say this often to young couples that are going to get married. We have a new young couple right here. They just got engaged yesterday. Ethan and Grace. Yes. I say this to them. My son Sam and Abigail are getting married in September. Say this to every person before they get married and after they get married, is you are complete in Jesus. Marriage doesn't make a person complete. Nope. We're complete in him as an individual. And so God then takes two complete people and brings them together in power. That's completely different than being codependent and looking for your completeness in your spouse. I'll tell you what, you'll be disappointed, and they will too, because they can't do that. We're complete in Jesus, whether you're a child or you're 95 years old. We're complete in Christ. Verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. This is what baptism is all about, water baptism. In which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. having forgiven us all our transgressions, thank you, Jesus, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15, last verse. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Amen. And we'll continue on next week, Lord willing. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you that we are complete in you, and you are first place in everything. We just recognize, even this moment as we're sitting here, that you created everything. You hold all things together, including our lives. You have our future. You have our past. You are first in everything. And Jesus, I want to say thank you for giving Paul this revelation, spoken to this church, that you live inside of us. Lord, I pray for that revelation to hit and be real for every person here today, every person watching, every person sitting here, that we would recognize day after day after day that he lives in me. He lives in me. I'm carrying him. I'm the new ark. I'm the temple of God, it says in 1 Corinthians 6. I am the temple of God. I'm the place that he dwells. Lord, we want to live in a way worthy of that sacrifice and that move that you made to move on the inside of us. We align our lives with you and what you want us to do with these bodies, what you want us to do and to speak and to think. Transform our minds, Lord. We want to think the way that you think. And we just received even that prayer that he prayed for the Colossians. We want that for ourselves, that we would be filled with all of the wisdom and the knowledge of your will so that we could walk in a way worthy of you. We bless you, Lord, and say thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be united with you, to know you better every day, to grow in our union and our journey of faith. Keep our faith strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.